Pleasant good morning to you. I didn't ask Tyler to read from Romans 5, but I'm glad that he did. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Romans 6, that's where we'll be studying in just a few moments. Men have many strange notions about religion. Some believe there is no God, therefore they must argue in favor of some illogical evolutionary concepts is how things came to be. Some believe that God is love, which is true, but because he's love, he's going to save all men. What I want to talk about in our lesson today is those who truly believe in Jesus as the Son of God, but whose commitment is only half-hearted. Jesus condemns those who are lukewarm in Revelation 3 and verse 16. Yet there are many involved in religion who live as if they believe being lukewarm pleases God. Some believe that when I sin, I can always repent and be right with God, even when I've planned the sin in advance and plan to commit the sin again in the future. Romans 6 and verse 1 says, "Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase?" Paul, many hundreds of years ago, taught that's a wrong concept. Yet even as I look around at many believers who are in the Lord's church, I can't help but see many who are weak and lukewarm in their attitudes toward living for Christ. Read with me here in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The newness of life in verse 4 is not optional for the Christian. We have to walk in a way that pleases God. And my fear is that many do not, but they think they are. So I must constantly examine my own life to be certain that I have not deceived myself, and you must do the same thing. The purpose of the lesson is to force us to examine who will we crucify. Keep your marker here at Romans 6. We will be returning to this chapter a few times. But look with me now at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." We understand that we're baptized into Christ, Romans 6 and 3 said. And that's how we enter into the saved state through Christ. But notice that if we have not crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, we do not belong to Christ Jesus, even if I have been baptized according to Scripture. I'm scared that many in the church have taken a view toward religion that says, "I've obeyed the gospel, therefore I'm saved, even if I continue in sin." That's a doctrine none of us truly believe, called once saved, always saved. There's no such thing as the lukewarm Christian that pleases God. We have to crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. As it read in Romans 6 and verse 6, our old self was crucified with him. But so must our current self. And that's going to require some daily effort. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, Paul writes, "By inspiration, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." That's a powerful verse. I die daily. The context of this passage is in regard to those who are dead in Christ being resurrected. That's the immediate context. But I think this particular verse speaks of the topic of our lesson. I die daily. Certainly we know that Jesus says we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. Mark 8 verse 34. To die daily indicates we have to daily make a decision to die to the world, to deny ourselves. This being true in what Scripture says, then there is no such thing as a Sunday-only Christian. There is no such thing as the believer who walks in the newness of life only when other Christians are around. There is no such thing as serving God earlier in my life and doing nothing for him now. There's no such thing as partially living for the self or partially living for God. I die daily. It means I'm going to struggle to serve God every day. It's the ongoing, endless battle in the flesh that all men fight. Those who have been buried with him through baptism into death do not serve sin. Again, in Romans 6 and in verse 6, we are no longer slaves to sin. The lukewarm Christian is not pleasing to God because he is a lukewarm slave to sin. There's no full commitment, no decision to serve him, no willingness to die daily to sin. Slaves are not free to choose. They are imprisoned against their will, doing what they do not want. When we sin, we do not what we want to do. That's brought out in Romans 7 and in verse 19. Paul says, "The good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." I'm the slave of sin. I'm doing what I don't want to do. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Romans 6 and verse 2. If we're buried with him in death and we truly cannot be living in sin, we understand that concept. The burial in Christ is not merely a plunge beneath the water. And that's where I fear many in the Lord's church are mistaken in some, frankly, lazy thinking. Yes, water baptism is necessary, but Paul urges in Romans 6 that we are to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 6:11. If I'm unwilling to deny myself, unwilling to be the slave of righteousness, unwilling to walk in the newness of life, then I have not truly been buried with him in baptism into death. Because I didn't die. I didn't give up myself. We're supposed to put to death the sinful habits. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 5, Scripture says, "Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." I'm supposed to be dead to those things. That they don't appeal to me. They don't affect me. They don't draw me in. Again in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 20, it says, "If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees?" The context is dealing with certain false teachings the Colossians were submitting themselves to, which were in violation of God's will. But what I want us to see is, why? As if you were living in the world, do you submit? Why do we give into the world when we claim we have died with Christ? Why do we submit to worldliness when we have died to the world? Read with me again in Romans 6. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It's my choice. Do not let sin reign. Do not go on presenting my body to sin. It's my choice. Instead, also my choice, as those buried with him through baptism, I present myself to God as those who are alive. This is brought out, I think, by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in his own life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. He says, by inspiration, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Exercising self-control is key to being dead to the world. My choices about sin and righteousness have to be under my control. Otherwise, I'm simply following my lusts. Like Paul, we have to discipline our body and make it a slave to our will. That's very different than what some do who claim to be a Christian. I'd remind you of the passage we started with in Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, the reward makes the suffering of self-crucifixion worth it. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 17, Romans 8 and 17 says that if we are children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we die for him today, we're going to live with him tomorrow. We share in his eternal reign. And that's something I strongly desire. And I believe you do as well. How then can I live for God in a lukewarm manner? How can I choose to sin knowing the eternal destiny of the faithful? No. I must crucify myself. Look with me again now at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Because we are able to abandon Jesus at the cross. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. When we die, crucify ourselves, we in fact behave like Jesus, join Jesus, if you will, in that he crucified himself to accomplish the will of the Father. When we fail to crucify ourselves, we forsake Christ. We fail to declare his life is death in our own life. We're supposed to show his life in our own. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 10, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 10, Paul, again speaking of himself, says he was always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Dying daily for Christ. I die daily, Paul said. We're all supposed to be doing that. Through self-denial, we show the life of Christ to the world around us. And we show his death by imitating his life. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, it says, "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." Well, how did Jesus walk in this life? He did everything the Father told him to do. He always lived to do the will of the Father. That's the way we're supposed to walk. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, "To be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you." We imitate Christ, denying ourselves, giving ourselves as a loving sacrifice for God. When we imitate his life, we have to bring to mind his death as well. I die daily. But now read with me in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 4. Hebrews 6 and verse 4 speaks of us. It says, "In the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come," that's all of us, "and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." We who have been buried with him in death now turn our back on him when we fall away. And that's speaking of the one who no longer tries to crucify themselves, but instead they're living for themselves. These cannot be renewed to repentance because they have no desire to give up sin that they now enjoy. They don't want to repent. They have no desire to crucify themselves and serve God. And if we're now in that state, please notice verse 6 says, "We crucify to ourselves the Son of God." That's our other choice. Crucify self or crucify Christ. We put him to an open shame. Others know of our claims to righteousness, can see that we have fallen away because we're living in sin. That brings shame to Christ, shame to the church, shame to the congregation, shame to my family. But I think what this is really referring to is the shameful way in which Christ was crucified on a cross. We treat him just as shamefully in a public manner, not caring about him when we fall away. And we publicly tell the world we're living for ourselves and we choose to crucify Christ. That's a pretty strong concept. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it tells us that we've already put Jesus on the cross once. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says, He Himself bore our sin in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. Man, if you're not personalizing that verse, you need to. That's what He did for me. My sins were born that I might die to sin. Personalize it. It was my sin that caused the need for Jesus to die on the cross. By His wounds I'm healed. I have been forgiven of my sin. That's alluding to the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53. Because of the forgiveness of my sin, when I answer the gospel call, Peter, by inspiration, says, I am to die to sin and live to righteousness. There is no in-between state. No third choice. I must die to sin, crucify myself, or I will crucify Christ. Our sins was His burden on the cross, personally. Am I going to crucify Him again by my choice to serve sin? As we conclude the lesson, look with me in Romans once again in chapter 8 and beginning in verse 12. Romans 8 and in verse 12. Scripture says, So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The choice is simple that Scripture puts in front of us. Crucify myself or crucify Christ. So which is your choice? We want to encourage those of our number who have obeyed the gospel but are not crucifying self to repent and begin living for God, to submit to God, to being led by the Spirit of God in obedience to the things that have been revealed of how we're supposed to walk. Turn away from those things that are sinful. Remove them from your life. Become dead to them. Die to them daily. Allow your will to be in control rather than your lust and wants. Change your habits to become righteous. Pray that God would forgive you of your sin. And remember, if we're putting to death the deeds of the body, we will live eternally. But if we're living according to the flesh, you must die eternally. If you've never obeyed the gospel, it's important that you do so. We must all believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of our sin, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Understanding that that is a decision to crucify myself, to give up my will to do God's will. Not just on the day that I submit to baptism, but for the rest of my life. And until we have been baptized, we remain in our sin. 1 Peter 1 And 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says, baptism now saves you. Baptism is the point of commitment in Scripture, indicating when we have fully submitted ourselves to God's plan for our life, obeying His will instead of mine. It's when we initially indicate our desire to crucify ourself. We encourage you, if you have not done so, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and begin living in righteousness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward now. Let's stand and let's sing to encourage.